from the Gable Media Podcast Network and presented by Lines. This is Spaces, the podcast where we make sense of the spaces that shape society. I'm your host, Demetrius Lynch. Hello! Thanks for coming back, everybody. And if you're new here, welcome. This is episode 214, where I explain when you actually need an architect and why bringing one in at the right time can change not only the outcome of your project, but the experience of getting there. But before we get into it, a quick reminder that you can find all of this information and more in my digital download called Before You Build. It's a strategic pre-design framework to help you avoid costly mistakes in common projects like kitchens, ADUs, additions, and small commercial tenant improvements. In it, you'll learn how to define your project scope, understand realistic project costs in Southern California, assemble the right team, anticipate project timelines, and avoid the most common mistakes people make before they build. There is also a budget planner and calculator to help you create a more realistic starting point before you spend money in the wrong direction. You can find it now at lines.studio/store, that's lines.studio/store, or follow the link in the show notes. Now back to today's focus. One of the most common questions people ask early in a project is, do I actually need an architect? And the honest answer is, not always. But when you do need one, you usually need one earlier than you think.
I've mentioned it to my family, but in terms of telling people like, oh yeah, we're doing this, I'm looking for projects, you got anything? Yeah. I'm not there yet because it scares the shit out of me.
Dreaming of launching your own architecture firm? Well, buckle up for a wild ride with Emerging, the podcast that shares what it's really like to start an architecture firm.
Where do we begin? We don't even know what type of business to formalize as. Is it an LLC? Is it an LLP? Like, how are taxes? I mean, the list is astronomical.
Season 1 featured founders Jeffrey, Lexi, and Chris, owners of Level Studio Architecture, are your fearless guides on this unfiltered journey from napkin sketches to a thriving studio.
One evening, stumbled into one last dive, we sat at the bar and pondered our postgraduate futures. Amidst the conversation, a napkin became the canvas for our aspirations, sketching plans and milestones, sealing our heartfelt commitment and shared dreams.
In drawing down dreams on a napkin collectively, that then, you know, in your head, you've rooted like, oh, I'm connected to these people, like, long term.
The process of starting an architecture practice brims with excitement and challenges, demanding meticulous planning, flawless execution, and unyielding resilience.
I kind of hate the term because it's so overly used, but I think everybody knows imposter syndrome. And I think it's so real to this day. I don't know if it's with everybody, but with me, I'm always questioning like, us, can we do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we prepared? Can we do it?
Did we just decide a name?
We did it, guys.
Oh my
God. That came out of nowhere.
Woo! It came out of nowhere. I liked it. I saw it.
Ready to turn your aspirations into reality? Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Emerging and chart your own path to architectural success. Architecture can be a hard service to sell because, unlike many other services or products, its value is not immediately tangible. If you buy an electronic from a store, you can take it home, turn it on, and enjoy it right away. If you hire a contractor, eventually you'll see the physical work being done. If you go to a doctor or a dentist, they physically examine you, treat you, or prescribe something tangible for you to take. Most professions have some kind of immediately recognizable physical deliverable. Architecture is a little different. Yes, you receive drawings, physical or digital, but to many clients, drawings can feel like a nebulous idea. They are representations of something that does not exist yet. And because the concept of drawing plans seems simple from the outside, and just a requirement to get to the actual deliverable, architectural work is easy to misunderstand and easy to commoditize. People think, I just need plans. But after working through a real process, clients often tell me how invaluable the architectural service actually was. not just because of the drawings, but because someone listened to their thoughts, understood their vision, asked better questions, organized the process, anticipated issues, and helped turn their needs into a custom solution. That value is hard to fully appreciate at the beginning, but it becomes very clear after the fact. So today, I want to explain when you actually need an architect and why the value of an architect is often less about simply producing plans and more about creating clarity, reducing stress, and helping you make better decisions before they become too expensive to undo. A lot of people wait too long to bring in an architect. They gather inspiration images, talk to friends, call a contractor, search online, or sketch layouts. Sometimes they even make major decisions about budget, scope, or schedule before anyone has evaluated the property, existing conditions, zoning, code, structure, or permitting path. Most people don't start a project thinking, "I need a process." They start with a desire. They want more space, a better kitchen, an open plan, an ADU, or a space that works for their business. They ultimately want an environment that better supports how they live, work, gather, rest, or grow. That desire is real, but desire alone doesn't tell you what the project requires. And that's where an architect's value begins. Architects help translate that desire into a buildable path. So when do you actually need one? Here are five situations when and reasons why to bring in an architect. First, as we've touched on in a previous episode, you likely need an architect when your project moves beyond cosmetic improvements. If you are painting, replacing flooring, refreshing finishes, swapping fixtures in the same locations, or making simple updates that do not affect structure, layout, systems, exterior work, or permitting, you may not need an architect. A good contractor, interior designer, cabinet professional, or specialized trade may be enough. But once the project affects layout, structure, square footage, building systems, code compliance, or permitting, the complexity changes. Like in our common example, if you are removing walls, that is not just a visual decision. To the homeowner, the goal may be simple: open the space, improve flow, create more light, and make the home better for entertaining. But behind that idea are a lot of questions. Is the wall load-bearing? Does it support the roof? Does it help resist lateral forces during an earthquake? Are there electrical lines in it? Are there plumbing lines or ducts in it? Will it require a beam? Will that beam fit within the ceiling? Will it need posts? Where do those posts land? Will the foundation need to be modified? Will the city require structural drawings? I've walked through homes of friends who bought homes from flippers, and I could immediately see signs of work that appeared to have been done without proper design, permitting, or coordination. Often, a wall had been removed to open up a living room, but the structural solution was not done correctly. You might see cracking where a beam meets a wall. Sometimes the beam appears to be twisting or warping. Often the issue is that the beam is undersized, the connections are not appropriate, or the load path was not properly understood. Most homeowners would never notice these nuances during a walkthrough. They see the contemporary look of an open room and assume it's an upgrade, but they may be inheriting a safety risk and financial exposure that will eventually need to be repaired. That is the difference between seeing a design idea and understanding what the idea actually requires. Second, you should bring in an architect when you are adding square footage. Additions are almost never just more space. They're impacted by zoning, setbacks, lot coverage, height limits, and energy compliance. And they affect foundations, roof lines, drainage, utilities, and structural connections to the existing building. I once took over a project where an unqualified designer slash contractor had been hired for a primary suite addition. On the surface, it seemed simple enough. Add an ensuite bathroom and closet. But when I reviewed the work, it was clear they did not understand the zoning code. The design exceeded the setback requirements on the property, which meant it was not going to be approved. But that was only one problem. The space planning itself was also poor. The bathroom had no access to natural light and ventilation, solely relying on mechanical ventilation or electricity for light, unnecessarily adding operational costs. The bathroom was confined, doomed for daily friction when the couple got ready for work every single day. The closet design was so tight that once clothing was at it, you would not physically be able to enter and use the space. On paper, many owners may not notice those problems. They see rooms labeled bedroom, bathroom, and closet and assume the layout works. But living in that space would have been a completely different experience. It would have felt uncomfortable, poorly planned, and likely would have hurt the long-term value and resale appeal of that home. That's another part of the architect's value. It's not only knowing what will get approved, but understanding what will actually work. Third, you likely need an architect when planning an ADU. ADUs can sound simple because they're small, but small does not mean uncomplicated. An ADU is still a home with all the typical components: a bedroom, a kitchen, a bathroom, utilities, heating, cooling, insulation, energy compliance, structure, fire separation, and proper access. So the complexity still exists. I've seen a number of unpermitted ADUs and garage conversions where that complexity was not respected, and problems that arose were serious. Some violate setback requirements, creating fire safety concerns, or putting structures too close to property lines or neighboring buildings. Some lack proper construction detailing, which can lead to moisture problems, mold exposure, or unhealthy living conditions. You can look up the impact of mold toxicity and understand why that's a concern. Others are poorly planned, with rooms that feel uncomfortable, fixtures that don't fit properly, or equipment squeezed into places where it cannot be maintained. ADUs are incredibly valuable. They can support family, provide rental income, create flexibility, and make better use of property. But the complexity cannot be overlooked. ADUs have to be planned correctly. An architect can help determine not only whether an ADU fits physically, but whether it fits your goals, your site, your budget, and your long-term plans. Fourth, as a business owner, you should bring in an architect when you're evaluating a commercial space or property before making a major commitment. A space may look perfect in a listing, but that does not mean the space can support your intended use without major costs. A cafe, restaurant, wellness studio, office, retail shop, or medical use can trigger very different requirements with the governing jurisdiction. Accessibility upgrades, restroom count and location, mechanical ventilation, electrical service, plumbing upgrades, fire sprinklers, health department review, parking, or change of use requirements. Those issues may not be obvious during a walkthrough or lease negotiations, but they can determine whether the project is feasible. For commercial work, the question is not simply, can I imagine my business here? It's what will it take to legally and practically make this space work? Fifth, an architect becomes especially valuable when the project has a meaningful budget and the financial risk of mistakes is high. If you're planning a $500,000, $750,000, or $1 million project or more, the architect's role is not simply to make the project look good. It's to help protect the investment. To be clear, that doesn't mean an architect can eliminate every risk. No one can. But a thoughtful process can reduce uncertainty, identify issues earlier, coordinate the team, clarify priorities, and prevent avoidable mistakes. And this is where clients often recognize the value after the fact. At the beginning, they may not fully understand why the conversations, meetings, drawings, consultant coordination, revisions, permitting support, and decision-making process matter. But later, they often appreciate that someone was guiding the process. Someone was listening, open to their ideas, understood their needs, helped them make decisions, and took all of the scattered thoughts, constraints, wishes, and concerns and translated them into a custom solution. They also appreciate that the process felt easier and less stressful than they expected. And that matters. A good architectural process does not mean there are no challenges. Every project has challenges. But it does mean that the client is not left alone inside the uncertainty. The process is organized, the communication is clearer, the decisions are sequenced, the risks are discussed, the team is coordinated, and the owner understands what is happening and why. That's a real service. And in many cases, that service becomes more valuable than the drawings themselves. Architecture is personal. Whether it's a home, a business, or a space for gathering, you are not just buying a set of documents. You're making a series of decisions about how you want to live, work, host, rest, serve, grow, and move through the world. A good architect helps translate those intentions into space. Whether it's more square footage, a bigger kitchen, a home office, or a commercial space, the surface request is rarely the whole story. A good architect listens for the deeper problem and develops a unique solution in the form of spaces. So when should you bring in an architect? Well, bring in an architect when the project involves more than finishes. When structure, layout, square footage, permitting, code, systems, or coordination is involved. When you're about to make a major financial commitment, are evaluating a property or commercial space, want the project shaped around how you actually live, work, or operate, and most importantly, bring in an architect before decisions become expensive to undo. Before you hire the wrong team, commit to an unrealistic budget, purchase the wrong property, remove the wrong wall, or start construction with too many unanswered questions, that early clarity can make a major difference. And by the way, that's exactly why I created Before You Build. It is meant to help homeowners and business owners understand the early decisions that shape a project before the stakes get higher. Because most project problems don't start during construction. They start before anyone has clearly defined the scope, budget, team, timeline, and risk. The right architect can help you see the project clearly. And clarity is what makes the experience feel less stressful, more intentional, and more aligned with the outcome you actually want. You can find Before You Build at lines.studio/store. That's lynes.studio/store, or follow the link in the show notes. Thank you for listening in today. If you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next talk. We'll talk again on the next one. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Spaces is brought to you by Lines, my Southern California-based architecture and creative studio that provides services focused on custom homes, home renovations, creative office, and specialty retail spaces. Find out more at lynes.studio. That's lynes.studio. If you learned something from this episode or think it would resonate with a friend, please share it and rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps others find the show. If you have a question about the built environment or just want to share whatever is on your mind, I'd love to hear from you. You can do that at lynes.studio/podcasts. Looking for similar content? Spaces is a proud member of Gable Media, a digital media platform where you can find even more content like this. Visit gablemedia.com, and that's gablemedia.com. And lastly, before I go, if you want to see additional photos, videos, clips, and other content from this episode, visit lynes.studio/podcasts. Talk soon.